Reading from the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila, text 68. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Jaya Jaya Sri Chaitanya Jaya Nityananda Jaya Dvaita Chanda Jaya Tor Bhakta Vinda Uti Mahaprabhu Tanna Chapari Maria Kohite Lagila Kichu Kolite Kariya. When Rupa Goswami fell down like a rod, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got up and gave him a slap. Then, taking him on his lap, he began to speak to him. Om Jnana Timurandhasya Jnananjana Savakaya Chaksur Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Adadanas Tanandante Idam Yache Puna Puna Srimadupa Padam Boja Tulisham Janma Janmani Vairagi Yug Bhakti Visham Piyatnai Apayam Amanabipsamandham Kripam Buriya Paradhuka Dhuki Sanatanastam Prabhamasriyami Vansha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Shindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Ramo Hare Ramo Rama Rama Hare Hare. So greetings from the Sun Falls. That's in Columbia County in upstate New York, otherwise known as Stuyvesant Falls, where by the kindness of Sachi Sutta, he has built a place called the Swami Barn, where I have a very suitable apartment for my writing and work. I'm very happy to be here, finally settled down for the last few days before I begin traveling on Saturday. I'm pretty excited to get into this pastime, but I also wanted to sometimes just share different realizations with devotees, or like when I do in Vrindavan, share realizations of other Vaishnavas. I had a meditation on suffering and why there is suffering, and no one can doubt that this world is just suffering. And a little bit about the purpose of that suffering. When you suffer, and at the same time you are getting some perspective on that suffering by hearing transcendental knowledge, there's one thing that you realize. You realize that I'm not the enjoyer. And the enjoyer means the controller. Because to enjoy, the world has to move according to your desire. The environment has to move according to your desire. And for that to happen, you have to control it. So enjoyer and controller are the same term. So when one is suffering, but having some transcendental perspective, when one is suffering means when one admits it, because we're all suffering here. As long as there are desires in the heart separate from the desires of the Supreme Lord, we'll always be suffering. I was reading in the Bhagavatam, there's verses by Srila Jiva Goswami at the very beginning of the Bhagavatam, beginning with Savai Pumso Paro Dharmo Yato Bhaktir Adhoksaje Ahaita Ki Apatiyata Yatma Supasidati, that the supreme occupation for every person is Paro Dharma Adhoksaje, to serve the Supreme Lord, and when it's done without motive and without break, yatma supersedity, that then the heart becomes, finally, it becomes satisfied. And these verses are very, very amazing verses, because first it explains what pure devotional service is, and then it explains step by step how one who has a hankering for pure devotional service can achieve the highest perfection. And in these particular verses, it's very interesting because my present study is an in-depth study of Bhakti Sandarbha, which is probably the most authoritative treatise on how the Bhagavatam presents devotional service as the topmost method for realizing the absolute truth. I just realized that at the very beginning of the Bhakti Sandarbha, where it explains what is bhakti, and the very end of Bhakti Sandarbha, where it explains what is Raganuga Bhakti, or spontaneous devotional service, Sri Jiva Goswami analyzes these verses. And it's very, very clear in this progression that until you become free from desires, you are suffering. Until you become pure in heart, you're suffering. But the point I'm making is that suffering in that way makes you realize you're not the enjoyer and you're not the controller. And what is the false ego? What is the false ego is, I am the enjoyer and I am the controller. And what is the false ego? It's the thread that connects the soul to the body in this material world. And liberation happens when that is cut. So actually, suffering is revelatory that we're actually the servants of Krishna, because we're certainly not the enjoyers and the controllers. So if it's actually used for that realization, it's actually an assistance to actually become liberated and finally become happy. So that's what I was thinking about a little bit today. Now we'll get back to our story, and I'm hoping that we can actually all together begin this meditation on, and this is how actually Krishna comes into the heart. The way Krishna comes into the heart, and when Krishna comes into the heart, Surit Sitam, he is the well-wisher of the devotee, and he will clean your heart when he comes into the heart. So how does Krishna come into the heart? He comes into the heart in the form of hearing. Our process right now is to allow Krishna to come into our heart by hearing the scriptures with faith from a devotee we trust. This is the process of bringing Krishna in the heart. There's nothing more powerful than this. This is the process. Krishna is actually appearing in the form of these holy shastra, especially the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and by hearing it, he's in the heart. And what happens? Surit Sitam, he's so pleased that you have trust in him, that you're bringing him into the heart, that he starts to work on the heart. And he starts to purify the heart of desires and give us the conviction and commitment we need to actually become happy and actually become Krishna conscious. So this is actually such a wonderful opportunity and wonderful process for us to actually take to this wonderful process of chanting and hearing, and it's very, very dynamic. And I'm actually seeing, and one of my inspirations for this class, to actually continue it. I feel I'm bound to continue it because actually in association with devotees who are undergoing this process, who are regularly hearing, I see commitment and I see change and faith to take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada. So that's very nice. So let's go. Well, I'm going to continue in that way. And I'd like to speak more of the pastime. And so when Rupa Goswami fell down like a rod, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu got up and gave him a slap, and taking him on his lap, he began to speak. So this is, he's describing after Lord Chaitanya took sannyas and the devotees went to Puri. And he gave just a little cursory vision for us to see of Nitya Gita Ulas, the ecstasy of the devotees in the Sankirtan, chanting and hearing together. Sometimes when I chant my japa, I meditate that I'm in the kirtan at Sri Vasanga, and this japa is actually the sound vibration of the kirtan. So we can envision that, what it would be like to be in this kirtan of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees, the Trinada P kirtan, the kirtan of the humble devotees who are just dedicated to making this wonderful offering of the holy name to Krishna, and are actually therefore in that mood of offering the holy name to Krishna from the heart, then the holy name of Krishna actually appears. Krishna actually appears before them. So that's one aspect of this Puri pastime, the devotees and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu relating in such a wonderful way. Actually, it was so intense, they could not even leave each other. They were so unhappy. They had to come back year after year for 20 years. That was their life. And in Bengal, when they went back, they were thinking, when will I go on pilgrimage? And see, can you imagine if you knew that after 8 months, and it's almost up now because they would come at Rathayatra time, can you imagine that at Rathayatra time, you would actually be going to see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, whom you have an intimate relationship with? So this is actually quite a wonderful thing. And then, then it's Krishna Das Kaviraj, and he's explaining this Antya Leela, and then he's explaining that in this Antya Leela, especially Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was relishing the feelings of separation because he wanted to take the mood of his devotees. And I mentioned that in several classes, but a point when it's so relishable, I think we can hear it again, that the Supreme Lord, Sri Krishna, although he came to enjoy prema, and which culminated in his Rasa Leela with his devotees, there were three unfulfilled desires, and that's to experience the pleasure and happiness of the devotee. And therefore, the Supreme Lord, that Advayam Gyan, that consciousness of which nothing is different from, had to take the position of his devotee, to be completely fulfilled. And that's the story of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's Krishna searching for the position of his devotee. He needs to take the position of his devotee. And therefore, the Puri pastime, which is the where he's actually fulfilling that internal mood, he gradually goes more and more into Nirjan Bhajan and this deep mood. And it's a very, very confidential mood that he's experienced. Now, you know, by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy, Krishna consciousness is spread all over the world. People go on the internet and they turn on it. What they understand, I'm not sure, but they hear about Radharani and they something about it. But this is so confidential, it's hidden. Hidden why? Because it's the heart of Krishna. And one's heart doesn't become revealed to everyone, because everyone can't understand. Unless you have love for someone, they won't reveal their heart. nor can you understand their heart. So, so he's describing this Anti Lila, and he's describing how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is relishing, trying to relish in this mood. And there's a process for relishing this mood. First, you have to, by the mercy of a devotee, so by the mercy of Ishvara Puri and the mercy of Ramananda Roy, first Ishvara Puri and then Ramananda Roy, this seed of a mood, an aspiration for this feeling is manifesting in his heart. And then he's nourishing that feeling by the association of those devotees who have that feeling and who explain to him and sing songs in that mood to nourish that feeling. And of course, because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Srimati Radharani, he's relishing it to the highest stage of Mahabhava. Because Srimati Radharani is Mahabhava Sarup. She is the manifestation, the form of the Sandrandana Visheshatma, of the most deeply intense and condensed sense of love for Krishna, which is the mood of Radharani. How Krishna can be pleased by my actions and my thoughts. So we're seeing this, and he's at the end of the night, he's chanting this verse in the mood of Kurukshetra. I was wondering, the word was Dvitiya Praha, the later part of the night. I was thinking, I couldn't pick it up last time. Why at the later part of the night? Perhaps the later part of the day was perhaps when this pastime happened, where after 96 years, this is the essence of the Krishna consciousness movement. And after 96 years, the residents of Vrindavan can you finally meet Sri Krishna. So can you imagine that sentiment and that feeling? 96 years in separation, the pastimes of when Uddhava went to Vrindavan and he saw what the sentiments were in separation of the residents of Vrindavan, that Mother Yasoda was cowering, not cowering, but in the corner of her room, just crying for Krishna. Hey, Krishna, where is Krishna? My son, I can't live without my son. And he saw cobwebs on the ceilings, pots uncleaned. He goes to Nanda Maharaj and sees Nanda Maharaj just weeping. And Uddhava says to Nanda Maharaj, "You are such a great devotee." And Nanda Maharaj says to Krishna, says to Uddhava, "You child, how can you call me a great devotee? I'm not a great devotee. When Ram left Dasarath, Dasarath died. I have not died. I am not a great devotee." Of course, it's analyzed by the acharyas, the sense that he didn't die was called mritya, or one of the ecstatic vyabhichari bhavs, one of the sentiments of love called vyabhichari bhav, and there's 33 of them, and one is out of that love for Krishna, in your relation for Krishna, in absence of Krishna, you feel like dying, but you will not die because that will displease Krishna. So you can imagine those sentiments, and then he goes to see the gopis, and they're wandering in Uddhavakari. If you have never, of course, when I went to this place, Vrindavan is becoming more and more covered, but it was this very dense and sacred forest. And it was enriched with the mood of separation. And he saw Radharani talking to the bumblebee, Jalpa, Prati Jalpa, just mad with love for Krishna. So you can imagine after that, the moment that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is trying to relish, when Radharani and the residents of Vrindavan, and specifically Radharani, finally see Krishna, and then realize in meeting Krishna that it's not their Krishna, because their Krishna is their lover. and that's not their lover, or their lover is not manifest. That's the king, the king that's surrounded by the cavalry and the elephants and the servants, and therefore they're Krishna. And actually, who is Krishna? Because Krishna means Krishna in Vrindavan. Krishna means when the Supreme Lord manifests himself fully in response to the most intimate love in the environment that's most conducive for that love, which is Vrindavan. So now, it's not only first, it's the union. I have finally met Paranatha, the life, the Lord, the life air of the controller of my life, the life air. I finally met him. And then the mood of separation, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he sees Jagannath, but he doesn't see Jagannath as Krishna with a flute. He sees Jagannath in Kurukshetra. And who's there? His sister Subhadra. But then finally, the Rathyatra festival begins. And when the Rathyatra festival begins, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sees, and he's in the mood that finally the anticipation that I'm in the mood of Radharani, I will take the Supreme Lord back to Vrindavan. And he's in this mood, and no one can understand the mood. And of course, he sings this verse, which appears to be the hankering between an ordinary boy and girl, but it has actually very, very deep meaning, and he sings that verse. And if I repeat it the last six classes, why not repeat it again? That very personality, he's singing this in beautiful Sanskrit. Yokomarahara sa eva hivaras sa eva taita chapas te chomilita malati sarabaya prodakadamba nila. That very personality who stole away my heart during my youth is now again my master. These are the same moonlight nights of the month of Chaitra. The same fragrances of Malati flowers is there, and the same sweet breezes are blowing from the Kadamba forest. In our intimate relationship, now imagine his heart, I am also the same lover, yet still my mind is not happy here. I am eager to go back to that place on the bank of the Reva under the Vatasi tree. That is my desire. So this verse was only known to Swarup Damodar. But Rupa Goswami, after hearing it, he said, aha, this ordinary song Lord Chaitanya is using to nourish his sentiments in the mood of Radharani, who is in separation, in union from Krishna. Have service for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There should be a verse composed that directly explains the meaning, and can even more intensely invoke those sentiments in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Let me go back, and without computer, he's just his mind, and he has the ink probably made from a flower, and he has these leaves, palm leaves, and he's thinking very carefully in his mind, in perfect Sanskrit. Just imagine the sattva mind, the pure mind of the devotee who does not need a word processor. And he begins to write in his handwriting, which is like the row of pearls. He begins to write this verse so carefully, and puts it on a palm leaf on the roof of the thatched house in which he was living. And then he goes to bathe in the sea. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he comes to see them. Because they out of humility, because they had some outcast association, and what to speak of Haridas Thakur, Sanat and Rupa, they would just stand. They wouldn't go near the temple. And this is the Vaishnav mood. He makes himself negative to attract the positive, to attract that mercy, he empties himself of all designation. And if socially he is condemned, he accepts that condemnation to rid himself of any sense of upadhi or designation or false ego. And that humble humility attracts the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he comes there and he goes to the residence and he sees this palm leaf on the roof and he reads it and he goes into avishta, ecstatic mood, out of consciousness, high prame, and then Rupa Goswami sees and he's thinking, when you please someone and you want to please someone, you are in them and they are in you. This is the essence of Krishna consciousness. This is the goal. When you so much are desiring to be, when you so much desire to please someone, you are in them. Your consciousness is in them, and they reciprocate, and they're in you. So we see this relationship, and Rupa Goswami is realizing the mercy of this. And in humility, instead of thinking proud, I have written versing, thinking what causeless mercy, it is only the empowerment of the Supreme Lord and his mercy that I may write anything. I was reading this book. It's a very interesting book called The Nectar of the Holy Name. And it's written by this Grihastha devotee. I guess he in the 1960s, 1970s, a Gaudiya Vaishnava, who's very attached to the holy name. And he comes to Vrindavan. And he writes this book, The Nectar of the Holy Name. And you can see he has some real nice mood. And he's describing that he's writing this, and he's saying, how am I writing this literature? How audacious that I am writing this literature. Then he said, what did he say? He said, I am so audacious that me trying to write this literature, and he says, it's like a hunchback trying to lay on his back. He just goes on and on. So these Vaishnavas, they're not ordinary things, they're humility. So even if somehow or other they manifest something, instead of feeling proud, they're just thinking, I am nothing. And they realize it's Krishna's mercy that's manifest through me. How wonderful. And he falls on the ground, and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaks him up, and then he says to him, Mora shlokera abhipaya na jane Kona jane, mora manera kota tumi kanele kemane. No one knows the purport of my verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said. How can you understand my intention? He said, how can you understand my intention? He says, this is very wonderful. The deepest sentiments in someone's heart? The deepest sentiments in someone's heart? How wonderful to understand the deepest sentiments in someone's heart, and someone as deep as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so deep that it's the Advayam Gyan, the Supreme Consciousness, who is completing his full manifestation by taking the mood of his most intimate devotee. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is, no one knows. Mora shloke, abhipraya, this purport, najane, no one knows. No one knows. Kone jane, any person, mora mane, my mind, but kata, the intention, tume you, jani leva, Kemene, how have you understood this intention? So he understands that this is very special. I was describing before when a very wonderful devotee, Mother Srimati, very advanced Vaishnavi, very advanced. Remember we went with her, and she would take us to Ek Chakra. She's not only advanced, but she's a very skillful person and very, very organized. And she took me and my group to Ek Chakra a few years ago, and there was no electricity in this place. It was the most sublime place. There was no, like, very simple. We lived the most simple way. And I know she didn't go to sleep. She just stayed up all night on the roof chanting. And I told you, she told me that she was caught. I saw before the deities meditating, and I met her outside. I said, "Hey, what were you thinking of?" She said that Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that by Dham Seva, you get Nam Seva, and by Nam Seva, you get Kam Seva. I say Kam Seva because Kam generally means lust. Kam Seva? She said, "Yes, Kam Seva." I said, "What is this Kam Seva?" He says, "You get to know the desire of Krishna, and that's the goal. The goal is for Krishna to reveal his heart to you so you can please him." So, Eta Bhali Tanre Bahu Prashada Koriya Sarupa Goshanira Shloka Dekala Leya. Saying this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu bestowed various benedictions upon Rupa Goswami. And taking the verse, he later showed it to Sarupa Goswami. So, he blesses him. He reciprocates because that's what a person does who is a person, who's not impersonal, who's exalted. He reciprocates love. So taking this prashad, he bestows his mercy. And then he shows it to Sarup Damodar. Sarupe puchena prabhu hoya vishmate moramanera katarupa janila kamite. Having shown the verse to Sarup Damodar with great wonder, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked him how Rupa Goswami could understand the intentions of his mind. So he shows Sarup Damodar, so great wonder. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu looks at him and he says, how could Rupa Goswami have, how can someone have understood the intentions of my mind on such an esoteric concept? We have it in the books and we read it, we barely understood. So Prabhupada writes a very wonderful purport. And I think in the Sangha, whenever we read the purport, don't hear my voice, but really with faith hear that Srila Prabhupada is speaking to us. So he says, we had the opportunity to receive a similar blessing from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami when we presented an essay on his birthday ceremony. He was so pleased with that essay that he used to call some of his confidential devotees and show it to him and say, how could we have understood the intentions of Srila Prabhupada? And so and that refers to Bhakti Siddhanta. So when you think of Srila Prabhupada, and you think of his speciality, and you think of his glory, what do you think? That he actually understood his guru. Because without understanding the guru, you can't carry out his mission, and you can't please someone. So who pleased Srila Prabhupada? Who pleased Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur so much? It was Srila Prabhupada, and why? Because he understood his mind. And how did he understand his mind? Because he gave himself to his Guru Maharaj without pretension. And because he gave himself to his Guru Maharaj without pretension, then his Guru Maharaj revealed to him. He could understand. And actually, it's something, because to understand the order of Guru is not easy either. Because to understand the order of Guru, to understand the order of Guru, what does that mean for your life? The order of Guru for your life doesn't mean that necessarily it will coincide with your comforts, will coincide with your own desires. It may radically change it. So unless someone is free from pretension and really has a strong desire to serve, then the Guru cannot reveal his full intentions for that person. Because if he does, the person may lose faith because he has attachments that are being challenged. So Sri Damodar Goswami replied to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We'll go on. I'm going to read just a little bit longer tonight, because these late classes should end a little bit earlier. Sri Damodar Goswami replied to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "If Rupa Goswami can understand your mind and intention, he must have your lordship's special benediction." This is the special benediction, Kam Seva, that the real inner desire of Krishna manifest through the spiritual master is revealed. So Sri Damodar, he answers Lord Chaitanya, "How can he understand your intention? He must have had some special, he must have been kripa, tomara, kripara, bhajana. He must be the recipient of your mercy." And then the Lord admits it. Prabhu kohe, tare ame, santushta haya, alingana koila sharva shakti shancharya. The Lord said, "I was so pleased with Rupa Goswami that I embraced him. I bestowed upon him all necessary potencies for preaching with bhakti call." How did he please him? He pleased him by because Rupa Goswami fully gave him his heart. He fully gave himself without reservation. Why? You don't give yourself to someone unless you love them and therefore want to be fully used for their pleasure. This is the highest expression of the soul. This is Manjari Bhav. This is selfless service. And Prabhupada so clearly understood this. One time in Prabhupada's room, he was sitting in his room in Calcutta, and he was meditating. How was I the lucky one? How was I the lucky one? How was I the lucky one? And he was thinking that because Prabhupada was qualified, but on a material platform, there were others equally as qualified and more qualified in different ways. There were people who were greater scholars than Prabhupada. There were people who even considered better managers. There was such and there were powerful personalities, and Prabhupada was thinking, how is he one? Because even now we have so many sannyasis and so many gurus and people are preaching, but imagine if there's just some grihastha living out on the outside who's just retiring now, like we're seeing. I'm thinking that Krishna consciousness in America, we're struggling. It's not burgeoning spiritual movement. The temples don't. Perhaps some places are creating a fertile ground for it to expand. But it's highly, you know, it's not the revolution that we expected. How will we feel if one grihastha retires and he's 58, one of my god brothers, and he starts opening up successful temple after temple with so many devotees? And if he says, of course, that's not the only qualification for success, but let's say we see that he's empowered, and then he would think, if he was a humble soul, how was I? He'd look at all these other great souls. How was I? So Prabhupada was thinking, how was I the one? How was I the one? How was I the one? And then Prabhupada said, because I was 100% faithful to the order of my spiritual master. Because he had complete trust. Trust means to have faith in something sublime. He had complete faith that his guru was representing the will of Krishna, and the dharma of the soul is to serve that will of Krishna, because the soul is a part of Krishna, and the part is meant for the service of the whole. So he said, I accept. Rupa Goswami is quite fit to understand the confidential mellows of the... I was so pleased with him that I bestowed upon him the necessary potencies for preaching the bhakti cult. Prabhu Kahi, he says. Oh, then, and then Srup Damodar Goswami responds to the Lord Chaitanya, if Rupa Goswami can understand your mind, he must have your special benediction. And then the Lord responds, Prabhu Kahi, Tari Ame, Santushta Hoya, Alingana Koila Sarva Shakti Sancharya. The Lord said, I was so pleased with Rupa Goswami that I embraced him and bestowed upon him all necessary potencies for preaching the bhakti cult. Krishna Shakti Vina Nahipa Vartana. Without that Krishna Shakti, one cannot spread the bhakti cult. And he was pleased with his attitude, and I embraced him, and therefore I gave him the potencies. Yogya Patva Hoya Guda Rasa Vivachane Tumeyo Kahiyo Tare Guda Rasahakene. I accept Srila Rupa Goswami as quite fit to understand the confidential mellows of devotional service, and I recommend that you explain devotional service further to him. To him further. So he gets mercy, and he gets more mercy. Because ultimate mercy is what? It's the association of advanced Vaishnavas who can explain further and further to you the principles of devotional service. So, I think, let me see, one second. I look at my watch, what time it is. Okay. Are there any questions someone would like to ask? Is someone there?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Hari Bo.
Dandvat. Maharaj, you mentioned that when Rupa Goswami offered his Dandvat, Mahaprabhu picked him up and slapped him. What is the... And then later put him on his lap. What does that...
Let me look at the exact word. Maria. Shaspari Maria. I would have to know the Sanskrit. I it doesn't say how hard it was. I think a slap can be a very affectionate thing too.
Okay.
You know, he's laying on the floor, he slaps him, and then he takes him on his lap and he begins to speak to him. So I think it's just arousing him from, you know, he's on the floor paying obeisances to Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya gives him like a slap, all right, and then you know, I guess Lord Chaitanya doesn't want the respect, and he takes him up. He wants to speak to him. He wants. All right. Yeah, thank you. Is that okay, Amritananda?
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you.
How many people are on today?
Just a minute, Maharaj. I'll check.
Okay, then you can tell. Any other questions?
17, Maharaj.
Okay. Any other questions?
Okay, Maharaj, I can ask one. This is Gail.
Okay.
You had mentioned, I think it was in the last class before last, that, you know, we should try to, we shouldn't aspire for Krishna's association. We should try to worship him in separation, in that mood.
And that's Prabhupada's purport.
Yeah. And so, I'm just wondering, you know, I can understand aspiring for that. If you already have, you know, that level of affection for someone, you know, and you know that person so intimately, and so if you already know somebody so intimately and have that level of affection for someone, then it's natural to be able to, you know, be in separation, you know. But for me, who doesn't really know Krishna,
yeah,
you know, and therefore does not even have that, you know, that kind of affection for him, how am I to worship him in separation? You know, in that
Well, you know, it may be at our level, in one sense, this is very high text, at our level, that, you know, the deep sentiments are not there, and through our intelligence we understand we have to become purified. And therefore we're practicing devotional service, realizing we're having to be purified. But when the attachment will arise to some degree in our heart, then not being with Krishna, there'll also be separation. And I think what Prabhupada is indicating, that mood of separation is a much more accessible and efficacious and practical sentiment to cultivate, because it will not be mixed, the mood of separation. It's separation means what? You're feeling separation, but it's not that you don't want to be with the person you're separated from, but it's just the mood that you're concentrating on. And if you're actually concentrating on that mood of separation, it's actually very practical to you, because we actually are separated from Krishna. And it's also the sentiment that Lord Chaitanya was, and therefore Prabhupada said that very practically we should chant the holy name like a child who's crying for our mother. It's a very practical mood to actually develop sentiment. As opposed, I think it's opposed to the bhajan and the meditation that we are with Krishna.
But until I get purified,
yeah,
and then develop some attachment to Krishna,
yeah,
until that time, is it not premature for me to try to cultivate that mood of separation?
You are separated, and whatever attachment that you have, and you do have attachment, otherwise you wouldn't be hearing. Whatever attachment you have, you should try to invoke some sentiment of separation, which means, what means to evoke? It means to think of those moods and associate with those moods that invoke that sentiment. We have actually the choice of how we're going to think of Krishna, and Prabhupada is recommending that the deepest way to actually invoke our sentiments and our attachment is to try to access that mood of separation. Just like the song, you know, I'm not that advanced, but if I sing the song, Hey Radhe Braja Deva Ke Chalalite, Hey Nanda Suno Kutaha, Where is Krishna? Where is Krishna? And Amritananda, when he came to my program, and he sang with the guitar that very nice song, right?
Yeah.
You know? We were appreciating it, so that means that we can actually have a choice what moods we can invoke, because both embankments must be there at every level to some degree. The desire to be with we're with Krishna, we feel we're with Krishna, we're chanting the holy name, we're with the deities, Krishna is there. We're also with the deities and with the holy name. We can also feel where is Krishna. So Prabhupada is saying that invoking the mood of separation, when we have a chance, or and that's why it is, it's fixing up our intelligence, that's better. Okay, is there anybody else that would like to say hello, say Hare Krishna? Yeah, thank you very much. We can always discuss this more. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj.
Who's this?
Gordon.
Gordon, I'm seeing there's a real core of faithful hearers here. Very nice. Where are you now?
At my parents' place. I'm going to my job soon.
Oh.
In Poughkeepsie. Yeah.
Okay.
I related the hello to Itadu Swami.
Okay. Thank you. I saw him today.
Oh.
I actually took lunch with him today because he was nearby in Albany, so I spent some time. Very nice, Gordon. It's nice how this Gaur Leela is interesting, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, good. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Maharaj, this is Srikant.
This is who?
Srikant from Edison.
Oh, okay. Amen. Thank you, Srikant.
Hare Krishna.
Some Edison devotees always are hearing. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Bol, Maharaj. Bala Dave and Gumaraj and the gang.
Oh, good. Good. So nice that you could be on to share with us this Gaur Leela. Thank you so much. Hare Bol. Good that you could fix that, Bala Dave, and get on. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna? Okay. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Who is this?
Govardhan.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, so thank you all. Vanshakalpa, Turubhyascha,
Kusandhubhyascha, Patitanam Pavanebhyo, Vaishnavebhyo.